This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Friday's 5:30. You know what that means, Luke?
Yeah.
Joey Harrington in studio. And how about that open, Joey? What do you think of the...
Well, first of all, I gotta give a little something to Lynch over there for... capturing the one moment I actually was singing on microphone. I don't know what happened at that. One, I never sing in public because I'm not good. But two, I should get an Emmy.
I think you should get an Emmy.
Or a Grammy.
Grammy is more appropriate.
Well, then maybe I should get an Emmy too. You know, why not? While I'm at it.
Or Tony. You could get a Tony. Oh, I mean, really, if you perform the whole thing, you're winning a Tony.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think that you're bad. I think it's good.
Thank you.
Which is why we put it in the open.
That's very kind of you. What was the background? Wasn't there something that came after it? I wasn't paying that much attention. Wasn't there other music?
Yeah, just
it was
music.
Like Donkey. It was like Donkey Kong or something like that.
I don't know what that music was, but
Mario Kart.
Boom.
Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it. I think. I don't know.
So Joseph, it's officially story time season.
Yes.
So I feel like we should start. So, because last week we talked a little bit about Justin Herbert and what he's going through. You see some similarities between what he's going through now, leaving Oregon, and just his upbringing,
right.
Local kid, and now heading off to the NFL. So now what? So now it's what are we in? We're like pre-combine prep.
Now everything is getting ready for combine. Like that is everything he is focused on. Like when we were working out in the off season during, you know, when you're in college, you were working out in preparation to do football things. All of his workouts now are tailored to explosive. Like he will work on just the starts of his 40-yard dash 100 times, or he'll work on just the cut coming out of the three cone drill, just so that he can be a tenth of a second faster than he would have been otherwise. Like all the workouts now are purely tailored to impressing the 70-year-old man sitting there with stopwatches.
Right.
And does he have an individual coach for each one of those disciplines? Because you always hear about like the guys that are working with the quarterbacks that are working for the combine.
What usually happens is you've got a weight coach, you have a speed and conditioning coach, and then you know the quarterbacks would have a quarterback coach specifically. But it's a really odd time because you're sitting there, you're running 40-yard dashes, you're just working on your starts. All
the
day.
4-yard dash.
Yeah, that's just like a full, not 40. It's a 4-yard dash.
What was your 40 time?
You know, at the combine, I actually ran a 4.85.
Oh,
which
wow.
was as fast as I had ever been. Yeah, I was blazing speed actually. Yeah. You know.
Well, that's
Did
not
the cameras
slow.
Even catch it?
No, they didn't. I was moving so fast they didn't see it.
Did you know that Patrick Mahomes and Peyton Manning both ran a 4.8?
Did you know this exact reason? Like I believe it because Patrick isn't fast.
Maybe we have we already talked about this with you? Did I already drop that stat bomb on you once? I think I might have.
Really?
But Patrick isn't fast.
No, he's not fast. He's elusive.
And
he's,
Peyton Manning feels really slow. But
he's got long legs, and he was probably trained on how to drag his hand drag your thumb off the start pad and take your steps and explode and do all that stuff.
Was that the last 40 you ever ran?
Yeah.
Is that pretty fantastic? Is that a good feeling?
Well, I ran 40 yards chasing after a guy after I threw a touchdown pass. I remember running 40 yards at Lambeau after Oz Hakeem caught a touchdown. Down and ran 40 yards to celebrate with him in the end zone,
but nobody timed that one.
No,
you weren't in underwear and nobody was timing you.
No, speaking of underwear, that combine, like people don't understand how odd and awkward and horrible that experience is. Like you see this on TV now; they broadcast everything. I'm not kidding you that we would go and stand. They divide you into groups, and group A, group B, group C, and one of the things you rotate through all these places, you would have to go onto a stage, and there is a room, let's call it, where 100, 150, 200 old men are sitting there with pads, you know, pencil and paper, and you get up and you are literally in nothing but compression shorts. You're just standing there in your underwear on stage in front of these people, and you can look at you like you look at them. They'll look at you, and then they'll write down, and then they'll like look, and then they'll like look at your legs, and like and then write something else down, and like you're standing there like wanting to hold your hands over your stomach, like man, what are they like? They're judging me, and then like you put you against the wall, and they shout out 6-0-4-0. Everybody writes their things down. Then you walk over to the scale, 2-1-7. And then everybody like makes notes on your body as like you're walking. It's the creepiest. Like I've never had an experience like that before.
You're just a piece of meat.
You are. You are cattle going through.
Right.
Did you do any tanning or anything before? Is that a wise move?
Make well, sure not that any more than usual. You okay, know, it's, yeah, perfect, I kept a tanning bed in my dorm room, so that was kind of.
And where do you put your hands in that scenario? Where do you put your hands? Do you just...
Well, that's the photo. That's the Tom Brady photo.
Sure.
Right. That's the one that everybody's. You know, oh look at Tom Brady's combine photo. Well, you just stand there with your arms at your side, and then people make fun of you for the rest of eternity.
And do they instruct you like when and where to walk, like Miss USA or Miss Universe? Like, do you have a mark that you have to hit and now turn a quarter turn to the right?
I don't quite remember that, but you know, I don't quite remember a whole lot because all they pretty much gave you to eat was like a bag of Lay's potato chips and like one of those, you know, Saran wrap turkey cheese sandwiches. Nice. And then they were like, okay, now go perform your best with receivers you've never thrown
nothing
to before.
Nothing but best from the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to figure out who's going to make $1 million from this. And they're like, right. Here's your Saran wrap turkey sandwich that costs a nickel.
So were you always thinking you were going to be a top five guy?
No, I was thinking I was going somewhere between 3 and 16.
Okay.
And then potentially, like, if it didn't happen there, then I would go down to like 26 or something like that. All depending on who needed quarterbacks.
Did you have a team that you were hoping called?
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Not the Lions?
You know what? Ironically,
why not?
There were 5 teams that needed quarterbacks. Buffalo, Cincinnati, I did not want to go to. Washington and Kansas City, I wanted to go to. And then Detroit was just kind of in the middle. Like, okay. It was just kind of ambivalent. They hadn't had their run of a decade of, you know, never winning a game. I mean, we're just two years removed from Barry Sanders. So.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a horrible, horrible place.
Well, this is insanely relevant. Joe Burrow talking about maybe not wanting to go to Cincinnati. What were your reasons for not wanting to be there? Just because it's Cincinnati?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
No, they had their decade of, you know, of miserableness.
Well, now they're on, what, 3 decades?
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
Joe Harrington in studio every Friday, 5:30. Okay, so it feels to me like pre-combine time or even combine up to the draft is like this no man's land because you've graduated, right?
Right.
And so you don't have classes.
Right.
Or maybe you are taking...
Yes, you're often removed from wherever you're going. So, like, you pick up and go... You know, I was in Orlando.
Right.
Training.
Guys go to L.A. or whatever.
Yes, Newport. But then there is that time post-draft where you do have to go back to campus. And it's this really... I don't want to say it's, like, wild, wild west, but... That is the time when, if it hasn't happened already, Justin Herbert will walk back into Eugene and one of the car dealerships will say, here's a free car. Go drive it around and then work out in the morning and then just go do whatever you want for the rest of the day in our free car.
Wait, so why do you got to go back to campus after the draft?
Because they won't. There's this stupid rule that once you leave for mini camps, you can't report to your team until your school has graduated. So the Oregon schools and like Stanford, they're on the quarter system. So there was this time where I was back in Eugene and, you know, they'd give me the free Lexus to just drive all around campus and I'd work out in the mornings. And then I was actually sitting at the bar one night, and just, you know, chatting up some of my friends and, you know, guys I, you know, who worked there, who I'd gotten to know through the years. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do for the next, you know, 3 weeks. And he says, well, why don't you work here?
Where were you?
I was at Rennie's.
So you just bartended?
Wait. I was like,
bar back?
Okay. So I went to work at Rennie's.
Oh my God.
And I was like, well, don't I have to like do some sort of like OLCC clearance? They say, yeah, but once you apply, you can get cleared to serve drinks while your application is going through. But then once you'll be denied at a certain point, and then once you're denied, you're going to be gone in the NFL anyway. For 2-3 weeks, I worked at Rennie's a couple nights a week. My very first night, he was like, all right, come in on a Monday. It'll be nice and smooth. we'll, you know, teach you how to, we'll train you. The law school got out. I just had finals. And so like 150 students from the law school walked in and they're like, all right, time to learn on the fly. I was like, what, where's my button for this? Where is it? How do I pour this? Where's the tap for the Budweiser? He's like, just point it over there. And so, yeah, I was a bartender after for a short stint in between my end of my collegiate career and the start of my NFL career. I was a bartender at Rennie's.
That's there fantastic.
You but you didn't know that.
Did anybody get upset with you for a bad drink? Like, I mean, I feel like you're recognizable enough.
It's Joey Harrington.
That's what I'm saying. They were like, this is what I'm saying. There had to be somebody.
They're like, oh my God.
Yeah, well then I punched him, and then that's why actually I came back and have this cast now, because that's where I got where I tore my ligament originally was from the bar fight when they said you didn't pour this right.
So did you like bartending? I bartended for years and I loved it. I think it's a great, it's a really fun job.
I've always said everybody should do it because I bartended for years as well. It's a way to like understand what the restaurant industry is like. We all go to restaurants.
Yeah.
It's one giant human experiment. You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
I completely agree. Interesting. You see what you hopefully don't look like after you've had a few too many. It's like, oh, huh. Yeah. Well, maybe I shouldn't do this. And maybe I shouldn't say, okay, got it. So noted.
Yeah. Okay. So you're driving around a free car, you're bartending. And you're just doing nothing. You're just the big man on campus.
Yes, but here's when like the opportunities start to roll in. So I ended up doing the the NCAA football, which was kind of like the EA Sports. It was the college version of Madden before they discontinued it because of all the college athletes not getting paid thing.
Right.
But so I was put on the cover of the NCAA game after I graduated. So they, they pay you to, now they can finally pay you and use your picture.
What kind of dough you get for that?
I got like 30 grand.
Nice. Just to be on the cover?
Yes.
Did you have to do any of since we're talking about getting in your underwear, do the suit where you have all the sensors on it?
No.
But that would be fun, though.
But we did have to do like a promotional tour thing, so again, you just kind of fly by the seat of your pants and go where they tell you. So they said you need to go to Jamaica. And so you have two tickets. So I was like, well, I don't know. Who am I gonna? So I took my mom, and I went to Jamaica with my mom, and there was like this big Madden NCAA launch, and I ended up playing in a Madden tournament against Ray Lewis and Lance Bass from NSYNC.
And who won?
That seems like a good pair.
It was.
Lance Bass hit on you?
Not that I knew of. I don't think he'd come out
yet.
Did
he hit on Ray Lewis?
He probably hit on Ray Lewis.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know.
That
he was
is
a good
something.
Dude. But it's like one of those things like you mentioned, then things start to happen. I was like, oh, yeah, I played Madden with Ray Lewis and Lance Bass.
You can see how guys get in trouble. I mean, so you're single, it sounds like, since you took your mom to Jamaica.
Right.
So single guy, 23.
What a great time.
23 years old. Here's a brand new car. You get a bartending job without having to go through any of the certification. Everybody knows who you are.
Here's 30 grand
and a trip to Jamaica to go hang with NSYNC and Ray Lewis. How do guys not get in more trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be perfectly honest, like, I won't say I was conservative, but I wasn't taking the big loans from my agent. I wasn't,
I want to ask you about that.
I took enough to just get by, but there are guys that go crazy.
Yeah, so crazy. Much question. Okay, let's pause. So much questions on that topic right there, because that's right where I was going next. Joey Harrington in studio, story time with Joey, every Friday, 5:30. We'll be back with more on 1080 The Fan. All right, back in here with Joey Harrington. All right, so it's past combine, after the draft,
okay.
But they've got this weird rule where you haven't graduated yet, so you went back to Eugene, but you're a rich guy because you're going to be the Lions' savior.
Well, plus he's bartending, so he's making all that
money.
Bartending. Just straight cash.
Like you're
Randy Moss said, straight cash homie.
Straight cash homie. Yeah. You're in no man's land, but you're starting to get offers, so you get 30 G's just to be on the cover of a video game.
Right.
You go play golf with, you go play video games with Lance Bass and Ray Lewis.
In Jamaica. Just making sure we have all the facts here.
Are you at this point cashing checks? Like, I mean, are you rich guy?
No. Hadn't seen. I mean, so what happens is after your final game. So after, we got on this because of Justin Herbert, right? So Justin Herbert finishes in the Rose Bowl. The next day, the next week, whatever, he signs with an agent.
Yeah.
And at that point, he and the agent will sit down and decide how much, you know, how much of a loan that he's going to take out, right? And most of the guys that go with the right agents take out a, you know, a loan of, you know, $50,000,
okay.
You know, it, something like, you know, $100,000, which would be like a salary for, you know, like a, just like I'm going to say, a yeah. normal yearly salary for someone, like
right.
$50,000 to $100,000.
Yeah. They take to get through a few weeks.
Well, no, yeah. no, that's that for, is yeah. that is thought that, you know, that is going to be what you're going to take through potentially through the next nine months or so,
okay.
because you're not going to see your NFL money until you start
game.
The NFL. Exactly.
Yeah, game check. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right.
You didn't get like signing bonus or anything?
You do, but you don't get it until you sign your contract. And I didn't sign my contract until I was walking out onto the practice field for training camp that following August.
Okay.
Right? So there's a stretch of 7-8 months in there. Now, some guys will take out, you know, $1 million from their agent and or whoever it is that decides to cash in on the stupidity of a 23-year-old.
Right.
And but no, I mean, most guys who are worth their salt will give a decent loan to get through, and then you just get free cars and free trips from people.
So what, you have the free free trip. What are you spending the money on? Just like that's what I was saying. Is it feels like it feels very easy to get in trouble. And you said that you were pretty conservative, so you didn't take out any.
I mean, I took a normal size loan just to you know
live.
Sure. Live right. You got to buy. You know, okay. I get drafted to Detroit. I got to find a place to live there. Like, okay, we got to put a down payment. We have to. Am I going to rent? You know, we're gonna. You know, how is that all going to work? Life, like life that happens.
Yeah.
But it is odd knowing that very shortly. Someone's going to hand you a check with two commas in it.
Right.
And
so exciting.
How big was your first game check?
Great question.
Game check. Game checks were not in my first year. Well, I mean, let's do some quick math. So I was on.
He's going to his iPhone.
Going to the iPhone. Okay. Ready? So of course.
It's always funny when somebody's holding an iPhone and goes, does anybody have a calculator? Savvy.
So minimum salary there. My rookie year was $225,000. So divided by 17 weeks is you made $13,000 gross per week. So then, you know, net off
Wait,
of that, off of taxes.
You weren't making minimum.
On the paycheck, on the game checks I was. So I got bonus first year. So I got signing bonus and then minimum salary.
Oh. That's how it works?
That's how my contract was set up.
Huh. What was your signing bonus?
My net,
18 million.
No,
what was your signing bonus?
It was yours.
Yeah,
that
million.
Was you were answering
Isaac
that.
Isaac was 18 million.
No, it was enough. It was enough to you know, to you know, put a down payment.
So these loans from like the agents, is that just carte blanche? Like, hey, whatever you want, they'll give it to you because they know you're
going to. Some will. And that's where you see these stories of guys who get, you know, quote unquote, taken by their financial advisor or taken by their agent because they look at it as an opportunity, and they look at the guys as a paycheck as opposed to a relationship and a, you know, a longstanding relationship. I mean, that's the difference is some guys are truly out there looking to cash in. It happened with a lot of the guys out of Miami. You know, from that stretch, the Clinton Portises, the Jeremy Shockeys, there were a lot of guys from that class that really got taken by some pretty shady guys. But part of it's on you, you know, it's.
Well, those guys were bringing in good money too.
Well, and then there's the guys that have their uncle as their agent too, and they get fleeced by their own family or something. It's
here's the thing. And I think I told you this, I was really, really lucky to have come from a middle class upbringing, and I had two parents who cared about me, who were who had taught me the value of money, had taught me how to save, you know, had my best interests at heart. There are a lot of guys that don't come from those situations that play in the NFL, and I will never forget. I think I may have told you this, and forgive me if I told you again. You know, I think I told this recently. A wide receiver on the team in Detroit who were doing the 401k stuff and the the Players Association, the union, was coming through and like screaming at people who weren't putting money into their 401k. And it was a 2-to-1 match. You put in $10,000, the team would put in $20,000 for money.
Yeah.
And there was one guy on the team who wouldn't do it. And guys are screaming at him. Robert Porsche, like the foundation of Detroit, is screaming at him like you gotta, I almost said his name, you gotta do this. It's free money. He said, I'm not gonna do it. And they said, why? Tell me why. He said, because I came from nothing, and I know at some point again in my life, I'm gonna have nothing. And so while I got this chance, this is my money, and nobody's gonna take it from me.
Did he blow it?
Oh, yeah. two years after he was done, he was, you know, just, he was writing letters to receiver coaches trying to get back in, saying, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And that's the opportunity that people don't realize, that that window is so small. And that's why you see a lot of the guys who, as soon as they're done with college and they see what may be out there, they try and cash in.
Yeah.
And if you don't have somebody advising you the right, to take the right long-term approach, you could end up in trouble.
Well, yeah, so because you don't know how long your career is going to be.
Right.
You only get paid for the season.
Yeah.
So extrapolate that over a year. So if you say, let's say if you get, I'm just picking a random number, $20 million, what percentage of that after agents, after travel, after living, because you probably have multiple places. You have to,
well,
what percentage do you actually take home of all this money that we see these guys getting?
Okay, but see, here's the thing. You say $20 million, right? Mm-hmm. $20 million is only going to one or two guys on that team,
mm-hmm.
right? The majority of that roster and the majority of guys coming out of college that are drafted are going to be making 4.25.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right,
that, and which is fantastic money. Like I mean, you walk down the street and say, "Hey, you want to make $425,000 a year?" You'd take it, right? So you take that $425,000 and you take out half for taxes,
mm-hmm.
okay? And now you buy your mom a house, you buy yourself a car, you know, and now you're down to $100,000, $150,000, whatever that number is, which is plenty of money to live. But those guys see the Tom Brady's, the Robert Porches, the whoever it is in the locker room that are making $20 million a year and can afford to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to live that way as well.
Right.
So they spend as if they are making that.
Right.
The best story I can think of. After a couple years in Detroit, we had a rookie offensive lineman came in, and there was a bonus structure. So if you were a minimum salary player and played every snap of the season, you would get a massive bonus. You know, you got $150,000 bonus. You know, and it was tiered based on what your salary was and what percentage of snaps you took during the year. We had a guy got a check at the end of the year for $150,000. And he says, oh my God, I can't believe this. We're like, hey man, congrats, you earned it. He says, I'm going to go out and buy a Bentley. And we all stop. We're like, whoa, hold on. Like, you don't have a, wait, why? Like, what are you doing? He says, I've always wanted a Bentley. It's like, yeah, so sure. Like, so that doesn't mean you take this check and go buy one. You don't even have a house. You live at the apartment complex down the street. And he looked at us and goes, yep, but I'm going to be the only dude in the apartment complex with a Bentley.
Wow. So do you feel good about how you handled your paychecks?
I do. I mean, there are some things that, you know, I look back and say, God, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. But I am able to live a comfortable life where I can choose the type of work that I do, the type of work that is enjoyable, that is, let's say, valuable, and still leaves me enough time to spend with my kids. And that's all I was looking for.
That's all you need.
Exactly. Yeah. That long-term stability to be able to spend quality time with my kids and still feel like I'm doing something of value in the community.
Fantastic.
Without bringing up something that was embarrassing, what was your favorite splurge that you made with the money that you have? Like, was there something you're like, did you always want a Bentley, or did you, what was something that you always wanted that you got to go, football bought this dream for me?
Man.
That wheelbarrow you were shoving down the
yeah, I was gonna say we built a home in Central Oregon.
Yeah.
Which is a family house that
That's
we
awesome.
Will have for generations. I mean, it's a place where the entire family can go That was a pretty big splurge.
Awesome.
But I don't regret that at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect you to.
I do regret, paying $10,000 for that plasma TV as, when it first came out, and now you can buy them for like $326. It's like, damn.
I worked at a hotel in Los Angeles, and an NBA player that didn't have a great career asked if I would hold a $40,000 bracelet for his jeweler to come pick up later. I was like, No. And why did you buy a $40,000 bracelet? He was a good college player, but he wasn't in the league very long. I was like, yikes. Mm.
Joseph?
How was story time adequate today?
I love story time.
It was my favorite
time. Ray Lewis and Lance Bass.
Yes.
And
money.
And money.
Yeah.
And
a lot of people wonder about the money.
Bartending.
Yeah.
Bartending.
Yeah. Where should we go next week?
I don't know. We can't jump too far ahead because the draft hasn't even happened yet.
Well, yeah, I'd like to ask you about Burrow and Tua and Herbert. And
cool, we can do that.
But yeah, I'm fascinated by the Detroit years.
Oh boy.
So maybe we'll start there.
Okay, fair.
We'll see. Joey Harrington is in studio with us every Friday, courtesy of BMW of Portland. Luke Anderson in for Souk. We're back with the club next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.